birthday of a king, King of kings, Lord of lords, Savior. All words that we don't really treasure in New Thought. So we're going to talk about this as a metaphor. The birth of Jesus as a metaphor, and the next week we're going to explore even further about the life of Jesus as a metaphor for our own spiritual journeys. The Jesus story is our story. Christ is that universal soul that belongs to every one of us. It is eternal being. It is timeless. As we talked about last week, it descends from heaven. What is heaven? Our higher thoughts, our higher self. It can come down into our ego world. And it happens in every human carnation. Not every human carnation. I don't know any human carnations. In every human incarnation. I bet a human carnation would smell good. So the body that you can touch and feel, the mind that you think with, is born to the world, just as Jesus, the child, was born to Mary. And the body is animated by the vitality of divine being. The very life of spirit is the life in our bodies and out of them, both. So here's the thing. This was a big step in the evolution of spirituality, the evolution of religion, the evolution of our understanding of spirit. Now think back to Moses. Moses was special because he spoke to God. He got to talk to God. Jesus was God. That's what all the Gospels are trying to tell us, is that there was something that was beyond just knowing God. He embodied God in his life. And the Gospel writers, of course, wrote this stuff many years after his death. So it's not meant to be literal. It's meant to be a teaching story. And here's the deal. That giant step in spiritual evolution that Jesus was God, was one with God. That was the moment, I think, that we finally got it. Only we didn't get it. Didn't quite get it. So much easier to say, yeah, that was him. That was Jesus. Of course he was, of course he did amazing things. Of course he knew who he was. Me, little imperfect me, I can't do those things, so I might as well not even try. I can't be that, so I might as well not even try. If I want to be that, I'm going to let my ego be in charge of being that, because my ego is the strongest thing I know of. That's what we have done. And we have painted a picture around Jesus that kind of gets us off the hook by making Jesus special, different from other Christed beings, from other human incarnations. And in truth, he was different. He was different in the way he lived, but not in the way he was born. Not in the way he was born. So let's just unpack the story a little bit. Let's get it. Let's check out the story and make it ours. Let's understand some of the metaphor behind it. King of kings, Lord of lords. Yikes. You have to understand that the gospel writers lived in a monarchical society. And the highest thing they could think of, the highest word in their language, was king or lord. And that's why it was called that. They recognized the Spirit of God in Jesus the Christ. And they wanted the world to know it was the highest possible pinnacle you could reach, and they didn't have a word for it. So they called it King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And again, we talked about the Virgin, that one-pointed, that idea that there was something, that there was a spirit descended straight from heaven, and it wasn't from the pair of opposites. Now, again, that's a story that was told many, many, many years after Jesus' death. And it absolutely models after many other stories in many other religious cultures. meant to say, pay attention. Something awesome is happening here. Something awesome happened. Pay attention. So in Luke, it says that Mary and Joseph had to travel. They had to travel against impossible odds. Mary's writing, any of you who have ever been pregnant, 9 months pregnant on the back of a donkey over miles and miles and miles of desert land, can you imagine anything more horrifying than that? I can imagine little that's more horrifying than that. So, but the point is that this was a difficult journey. It wasn't easy. And yet they took it anyway. And the point of Bethlehem was because the gospel writers again wanted us to know that Jesus was special. And so they have this whole idea about how Joseph was from the house of David, and David was the greatest king ever. So Jesus was descended directly through about 136 begots and begats from David. Is it true that Jesus was descended from David? I don't know. And I doubt that they knew. Their point was to say something special is happening here. Their other point was to go back to prophets, prophets seen of old, as we sang in the song, who predicted that there would be something like this. And so they kept adding the prophecy to the new story so it would fit. So it would fit so that the people who heard the story would get it, that this is something to pay attention to. So the travel, do we not have travel with impossible odds, seemingly impossible odds through our lives? This past year has been a travel through very, very difficult odds, through very, very trying odds. Any of us from day to day can face odds, health challenges and relationship challenges, and the inability to find our own personal joy and love within that seem impossible. And yet, the answer is there is a spirit of love that lives in and through and as all, and all we have to do is get in touch with that spirit. And the odds are no longer impossible. The possibility, the absolute, pure, innocent, tender possibility is born when we are in touch with that. So I also like to think about the donkey as metaphor. You know, she rode a donkey. I don't know if she did or not, but think about the donkey for a minute. The donkey was used for a higher purpose. The donkey didn't know. The donkey was just taking a really hard trip with a way pregnant woman on its back. So I'm sure she weighed a little bit. Across the desert. How many of us have been on a journey across the desert with some burden on our back and we think it's meaningless? But is it? Is it possible that every burden you carry on your back for a time, number one, will be put down? And number two, is for a purpose? Or if it's not for a purpose, we have the choice to make meaning out of it. That's what separates us from the animals. We are the meaning makers. So they went to the inn, and the innkeeper said, sorry, there's no room here, but you could stay in the stable if you want to. Rich with metaphor there. Who is the innkeeper? I've seen the innkeeper, and she is me. Because sometimes I don't want to open to that degree. I don't want to let the spirit of unconditional love enter into the core of my being. Or I don't want to live from that. I don't want to be in touch with it. Because you know why? Because I'm mad. My ego has plans. And those people are not cooperating with my ego's plans. That's what we do. We say, okay, I'll make a compromise with you. You can't go to the guest room. You can't go to the nice place, but you can go We are the innkeeper when we make decisions that separate our spiritual life from our life. If we believe our life is animated by spirit, then how can there be separation? The stable, the manger. Humility, humbleness. That's the song that I sang, "From a manger bed, what a path has led." And I think that that metaphor is so that no one can say, yeah, but if you're born a king and you live in a palace, of course you can do amazing things. And it was to say, no, you can't get much more humbly born than this. So don't use that as an excuse to not be and live who you truly are. The shepherds. Shepherds are very close to the earth. They're of the body. They watch over the animals. And they were afraid. They were terrified. And then the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Something in them recognized that there was something higher. And when we allow our ego, when we allow the fears that we hold within us to be informed by something higher, to be informed by that unconditional love that resides within our hearts, to be informed by what I often call my higher self, then I don't have to live in fear anymore. I can choose to stay in the fear if I want to, and I can point all over the world at whose fault it is that I live in fear, or I can say, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. So how can I be afraid? If I am eternal, then nothing truly can hurt me. The angels, those higher thoughts coming and rejoicing. And Savior, that word Savior, I think I must have sung that word, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of times growing up in a fundamentalist church. And it comes into our Christmas music. And I don't change the words to our Christmas music because there is a spirit within it I love. But I think next year I may just do metaphysical interpretations of all the Christmas carols we sing. That would be a cool sermon series. Oh, I'm in your head. I know what I'm doing. So that idea of Savior was our humanness, the gospel writer saying, okay, I can't do that. He's special. But if I surrender to him, then he can save me. That's the way it's been interpreted down the centuries. But what I'm here to say is this. The Savior is that higher self. The Savior is that which in within us, which allows us to touch the truth of who we are. The Savior is that unconditional love. It's not Jesus the man. It's the spirit of love that animated Jesus and animates each one of us. And those magi, those wise men? Well, first of all, in the Jewish storytelling culture, if you wanted people to really, really believe something, there were two things you could do. You could go back to old scripture and say, yep, see, it said it then, and it's doing it now, so it must be true. And the other thing you can do is consult a higher authority, a sage, a prophet, a maga. That's the singular of magi. So that Jesus was recognized by these prophets and wise men was a way for the gospel writers to say, this is legit. Wasn't just shepherds that thought he was great. Really great men traveled from a long way away to tell him how great he was. And they came from the east. So this is different. It's not just our local guys. They came from the east. There was some mystery there. Even people who are completely outside of our culture, the Magi weren't Jews. They weren't Jewish. But they came to worship the King of the Jews. And they brought gold. which symbolizes material wealth. And in consciousness, it symbolizes a consciousness of riches. And what can be more rich than eternal, unconditional love and joy? They also brought frankincense, was a very, very valuable perfume, the very essence of spirit. It was used in all kinds of ritual ceremonies, and frankincense was often used to clean the air. They felt like it had properties that allowed the air to be purified. So it purifies the consciousness that we are breathing in. It's an idea of the assimilation of God, Jesus and the Christ, all one. And myrrh. Myrrh was a resin that had a strong smell that Moses was ordered at a time to anoint the tabernacle and the instruments of worship with. So once again, they're referring back to this is what Moses felt was holy, so that is a holy gift to Jesus. Our tabernacle must be anointed with love. Must be anointed with love. The Jesus story is our story. When we make it about Jesus, we take away all of the possibility in ourselves, in our minds, in our hearts, in our awareness of being greater than we are. But when we say, yes, the Christ was born in Jesus, and the Christ was born when I was born, and if I'm not looking like a Christ out in the world today, that would be on me. I need to raise my awareness. I need to raise my consciousness. I need to spend more time realizing, believing, recognizing, being aware of who I really am, and then speaking and acting from that place. And that is our gift, y'all. That is the gift. Not the miracles that we work from that place, but that miracle itself of dwelling in love, the peace and the hope and the joy that come from dwelling in love. This is your Christmas present. If you decide to make it not something from the ancient past, but something in this present moment for you, enjoy the gift. So now is the time for our offerings. Oh no, it's not. It's time for meditation. Apparently, I need to go back to bed and wake up again so I can be fully awake. It's time. We're just going to take those thoughts into meditation for a moment. Thank you. So just start by relaxing. See if you can let your defenses down. Breathe. You don't have to make yourself breathe in some weird way. Just be aware that you are breathing. Be present to it. And consciously relax if you can. Relax your eyeballs. Relax your jaw and your shoulders. Any place that you carry tension. Relax your hands. Relax your sitting muscles and relax your feet. Thank you. fear not. Fear not, for I have tidings to bring you of great joy. I have a message for you of great joy. Your inner being, your higher self has a message for you of great joy. Breathe into that knowing. Every moment we have a choice to listen to that lower self, that blaming, critical, guilty self, that ego self in competition with the world, constantly disappointed. Or we can listen to something higher. Love is born in you. It was born in you at the moment of your incarnation, of your birth. Incarnation simply means into the body. That love was born into your body as your body was born. And it is that love, that energy, that power of love that animates your body, your mind. And yet there is that within us which is afraid of that magnificence, that power, that brightness. So we shut it down in various ways. But we don't have to. The angel says, be not afraid. The angel in you says, be not afraid. Our higher awareness says, hey, in truth, there's nothing to be scared of. You're okay. You're more than okay. You're blessed. Allow it. Drop what you're doing and go see. Inside the humblest part of your heart. The truth. A love greater than what your ego could possibly imagine. Breathe into that love. Be one of joy. Don't be disturbed by the appearances of the world. Allow. Allow that love to flow through you. Feel the joy. And so it is.